shows that the inward heart is humble before him. Trying to be anyway. I didn't say perfect. That's totally different. Totally different. You know, there was only one perfect man, and that he was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And he came and died for us. But a humbleness of the people before him. I want you to turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Did anybody have a problem parking this morning here? No? Okay. Because I know the restaurant next door has started to open up today. And so you might say, well, who owns the road? Honestly, we all do because it belongs to the state. The state owns it. But, you know, you can park anywheres on that, on the drive here, on the side here, anywheres. Anywheres. No one owns it, so you can park anywheres. So I know there was a few cars there and stuff, so but just to let you know that if you do drive up and sometimes there might be some cars here or there, that's probably what it is. Okay? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, and it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, we know when we got saved, bar note, when we got saved and Jesus Christ came and lived, we accepted him as our Lord and Savior. He came in and lives inside of our hearts. It says that he tries to grow the fruit of the Spirit on the inside of us. And we know the fruit of the Spirit, like we read, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's nine. It's not fruits. It's not nine different fruits that the Spirit of God is trying to work in us. Because you see, what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to do is to get us to be like the Father. To have those qualities in us. And so as he comes in, he lives in us, and he tries to grow these things all basically at the same time. You know, you see a fruit and something's bulging from this end and it's not supposed to be there, and something else is bulging from this end and it's not supposed to be. Well, we say something's abnormal with it. It's abnormal. It's not, something's not right. So it has to grow proportionally, all in the same realm or all together at the same time, these things in us. That's what God does for us. But also, have we ever realized that these nine fruit of the Spirit is who God is? He's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. He's all these things. That's the Father. That's who he is. But one thing I want to zone in is that God is long-suffering. Now, I know he tries to grow that in us, but I want to divert from not us, but to him. That our God is long-suffering. That he's, if you want to put it this way, he's patient with us. He's patient with us. Look. This is what long suffering is. Long suffering is someone who had to endure something unpleasant for a long period of time, but who was patient throughout. Just patient. Just patient throughout. And we know God tries to do that in us, tries to get us to be patient sometimes. Patient with people, patient with certain circumstances that are happening in the world, patient with things as we pray and seek God. But also I want you to realize that our God is long-suffering and patient towards the things upon the earth that are happening. That he is long-suffering. He's patient. And why he's patient is that he's trying to get the people to repent. to accept him as Lord and Savior, because God does not want anybody to die and go to a place where he's not, called hell. No one. He has come that all would realize, hopefully one day, that he is Lord and Savior and would accept him. Now, we know we know that not everyone will accept him as Lord and Savior. We know that. But God tells us still to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, to tell people about him, no matter what. He didn't say they would accept. He would accept. Some will, some won't. Some will be joyful, some will be mad, some will be sad. But we have to give out who he is. But our God is long-suffering. Long-suffering. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. You might say, well, why did you, you know, talk about how God is long-suffering? There's a reason why. A lot of times we are impatient. That's truth. But God is long-suffering. Look at this. 1 Kings. Oh, wait. Hold on. Get to it. First Kings chapter 21. Look at starting with verse 26. And he did very admirably in following idols, according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, do you see how Ahab humbles himself before me? Because he humbles himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring evil upon his house. I'm just reading up. I just want to make sure. Here we see Ahab. Ahab did many horrible things before God, worshiped idols, did all kinds of things that were horrible. But God was still patient with him. We think, you know, and I know we're living in a day where things are happening fast. We think, we see things happening in the earth and in our country and in the world that we never thought was possible. But it is happening. And we know the time is short, basically, before the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for his church, the rapture of the church. He's coming. He's coming. We don't hear about it much anymore, but he's coming. Just because we don't hear about it, the word says he's coming. He says that he will split those eastern skies one day. But also, I want you to know that our God is a very patient God. And he was patient towards the king, Ahab. And some are the Amorites. And he said, you know, someone asked him, well, isn't the cup runneth over, that judgment would come upon them, upon the people. And it says that the king, Ahab, was the Amorites, and Ahab, that was the king over the Amorites. That the Lord came and was patient because Ahab repented before God. And God said, he truly repented before me. And because he has done so, I will pull back my judgment upon these people. And that his children or grandchildren will have to suffer those consequences, but he won't. You might say, well, when God says he's going to do something, will he do it? Yes. But God's people can change the mind of God if we humble ourselves before him. and ask God to move. We see that in those verses, that God relented from that judgment coming upon them and upon that area till after this king had died, because he repented and asked God to forgive him. We see many, many things happening upon the earth. We see many, many things happening, and we think, well, you know, judgment has to come. But God is looking for a people that will humble themselves before him, seek his face. No, let me rephrase that. God is looking for his people. God is looking for his people to humble themselves before him, to pray and seek him and honor him. You know, I was watching the news, which I like to read the news and watch and see what's going on. Just, you know, stuff that's happening throughout the world. And, you know, and we know all this stuff with the Muslims and all that stuff that's going on, you know. And we see, you know, some people are burning their places of worship, which is not right. That's not right. That's not right. Okay. We may not agree with it at all. At all. But it's still not a right thing to do. It's not right to go and shoot up the place. That's not right. We're to go and witness to them and share the gospel with them that their Savior and Lord is Jesus, you know, and just explain salvation to them. But you know what? There was some place, California is it or whatever, and the place was caught on fire and somebody burned some of it and whatever. But you know what was more amazing? They couldn't go in and worship. So they stood on the sidewalk and bowed on cement to worship a false god. A false god. How much more, as we are serving the true living God, if we can, because I know some, that we should bow before him and ask him to move at will and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You might say, well, you know, man, judgment is coming upon America. I mean, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be bad. We can change the mind of God. In 2 Chronicles, it says what? If my people who call upon my name will worship me and bow down before me and worship me, then I will come and I will heal their land. God is looking for a people that will bow before him. God is looking for a people that will look to him. And say, Lord, I don't care what people are saying anymore, but I will worship you. I will honor you. I will repent of the sins of our country and ask you to come and have mercy and grace upon us. You want to know why we've gotten to the place we've gotten to, for the most part? Because we have a body of believers in America, and, you know, that's all over, that hardly pray, hardly seek God, or do anything according to what he says to do in humbling ourselves before him. That's why 100 years ago, or you can go back just 50 years ago, where revivals were taking place that were astronomical upon this earth. My God! Where, you know, listening to pastors, I've never gone through this. I've been saved for 30-something years, but I never saw this before, where they said they had church services for weeks. Weeks. Somebody remember that? You remember that? You grew up in church? Y'all grew up in the same church? Oh, my God. Oh, Lord, we got two now. Praise God. Y'all were what, Pentecostal? We just go. All righty. I don't care. I don't blame you. Just go to church. Go to church. Oh, amen, huh? Anyway, they'd have church for weeks and weeks and weeks. Huh? 8 and 9 weeks. You better not have a revival today that goes more than 2 days. You want to know why we're in the place, in the mess we're in? You might say, well, we're all busy. Well, let me tell you, yes, I understand that. And everybody, look, work, all kinds. But let me tell you, God is the most important thing. We can have all the gadgets in the world. And let me tell you, I like all the gadgets. Please. But all the gadgets won't make revival by the Holy Spirit. Not one gadget will save a soul. It's only the blood. But revivals that will last 8, 9, 10 weeks and day after night after night after night. A revival where the Spirit of God would move upon places and areas. Now we have places and areas in our country where they haven't felt the presence of God in years upon years upon years. What happens when there's no Spirit? The people die spiritually. And when they die spiritually, it becomes a desert place where nothing moves, nothing happens, because it's only the Spirit of God that can bring revival and help. Revival and help. How much do we need the Spirit of God? You know, there's hope, people, for America. There's hope. You might say, well, there's no hope. There's no hope. There's hope. There is hope. Because it says, whatever two shall agree upon the earth, it shall be done. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then he will do, the Spirit of God will move. There is hope. Might say, but you don't understand all the things that are going. I understand all that stuff. There's still hope with God. You know, I got y'all know I work for the post office. Snail mail. Okay. You know, this never happened to me before. I had a certified letter and I went up to a house. Can't tell you the name, I know the name, but. And I asked for this guy, this person. Someone came to the door and I said, is whoever there? And the guy said, well, he's back there. Can I sign? I said, well, is he here? He said, well, you know, I'm his husband. I looked at him and I said, sir, is he here? Yes, I said, I need for him to sign. But my heart sunk. So blatant. So blatant. Sin will make you blatant. It's out. See, we need a revival of repentance upon our country. For the last week or so, I've just been walking around and just praying and saying, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us as a nation. Forgive us for the many abortions that's happening. Forgive us for the evil that has risen up upon this land. Forgive us, Lord, because there's still hope. Lord, you said, your scripture says, and we quote those scriptures, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Look, America depends upon you. Obama could care less about you. We know that. Most of the senators, congressmen, they care less. Care less. But God is depending upon you. God needs you, if you want to put it that way. To be the person that stands in the gap saying, Lord, come on, do something. Help us. Help us, Lord. Repent. 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 Asking him to forgive us. You might say, well, you know, I'm okay. Well, I know we think we're all okay, and that's good. We've accepted Jesus as our Lord. But we need a mighty revival of repentance. We need to self-check our hearts about things that are in us that we have done, and maybe we didn't ask forgiveness, and ask God to forgive us of all that stuff. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Because you see, sometimes the way we see ourselves and the way God sees us might be totally different. Totally. And so we go to God humble before Him and saying, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us because you see, I claim it as my own of all the sins of our country, because it's all of us, no matter if we've done it or not, but it affects all of us. Just as the blessings of God affects all of us. There's no other nation upon the earth that has been blessed by God like our nation. No other nation. There's no other nation where somebody that's jackleg poor with $2 in his pocket can become a millionaire. No other country, people. Can start a business and it grow astronomically. Blessed by God. That's God. That's God. But you see, we have to go to Him because our true blessings come from Him and Him alone. Him and Him alone. Look at this. Let's see. Matthew chapter 3. I want you to turn there. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. This is what John the Baptist went around preaching. Start at verse 1. It says, verse 1 and 2, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent you, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. We have to be a people that has a repentant heart constantly. Asking God to forgive us. Asking God to move upon our lives. Asking God to forgive our country. Asking God to forgive us for all the things that we know are not right. Just not right. You see, and in staying humble before Him and staying low before Him, it brings the blessings of God upon it. Look at, you might say, well, how do you know that? Look at Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. See, God is in the business of not destroying countries or people. He's not in that type of business. It will come if the people don't repent and ask forgiveness. But God is not in that business. He is in the business of turning things around, just as He's in the business of turning our hearts and our lives around, making us prosper, doing a mighty work in us, seeing peace and joy and love in our hearts and lives. God is in the business of restoration. Restoration. And He will go to all lengths that He can to stop any judgment from coming. Sometimes we just want to see judgment to say that we were right. But that's not like God. God relents and tries to stop and tries to get the people to repent and do what needs to be done. Look at this in Genesis chapter 18. And I know this is very familiar to you. Look at verse 23. We'll start there. It says, and Abraham drew near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Remember, Lot was in there? Peradventure, there'll be 50 righteous within this city. Will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous who are therein? That'd be far from you to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked that be far from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. Even after all the horror that was happening in that Sodom and Gomorrah, those two cities, God still said, okay, if you find 50, I'll spare it. Look at this. Verse 28. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will you destroy the city for a lack of 5? And He said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. That means 45. And he, Abraham, spoke unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. That means he said, Oh, Lord, can I push you anymore? Abraham, look, don't you think God likes to be pushed a little bit? You know, that's faith. He was pushing. He said, okay, started with 50. He said, Lord, if there's 50, will you not destroy? No, the Lord said, I won't. What about 45? Well, no, I won't. Well, you know, what about 40? No, I won't. But please, Lord, let your anger, you know, not be against us. But, Lord, shall thou be 30 be found there? And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, before now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let the Lord be angry. Let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And we know the end of the story. Started out with 50. And you might say, 50 what? 50 righteous people. That's all. He didn't say 50 perfect people. Because righteousness means what? Righteousness means right standing with God. Does not mean that we're perfect. See, every one of us in here, you know, if we've asked God to forgive us of our sins and, you know, and we've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, you know, we are righteous before Him. That doesn't mean we're perfect. Miss Gail, you should have said amen. Got to get them back. We're not perfect, but righteous before Him. So all he said was, Lord, if there's 50, and he couldn't find 50. What about 45? Couldn't find 45 righteous people in this city of Sodom. What about 40? And the Lord said, okay, 40 if you can find it. What about 35? What about 30? What about 25? What about 20? Then he got down to 10. Just a matter of thought, I wonder if Abraham would have pushed God for 5 or would have said, what about just 1? We know Lot was righteous. I know you might say, Lot, look what he wanted to do. You might say, he was, though, because God went get him and God saved him and tried to save his family. I know that. God wouldn't have done it if that wasn't a righteous child before him. That doesn't mean he was perfect, but he was righteous before God. And he couldn't find 10. I know we have more than 10 people here today. 10. Just to say, Lord, forgive our land. Forgive our country. 10 righteous. 10 righteous. I know that was just one city, wasn't a country. But we can do our part in saying, Lord, forgive us. 2 Chronicles, would you put that scripture up? Because I want to read it right. In 2 Chronicles, I know I quoted that scripture a while back or earlier. It says, no, that's not it. 2 Chronicles. Huh? 2 Chronicles 7:14. I think it's 7:14. I think that's what it is. I'll look it up. That's not, you have time? Everybody has time? Okay. Okay, yeah, that's it. It's okay. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, just my people, you are God's people. You might say, well, you know, I don't consider myself as, but what does God say? When you ask forgiveness, it doesn't matter what the world thinks of you. Because, you know, sometimes the world think of you and I as, oh, that's those holy rollers over there. That's the ones from across the tracks, you know, or whatever. Or that's, you know, that's those old poor people over there. With God, God doesn't look at none of that stuff. All he says is, my people are not my people. That's all. My people. And he's looking to us as his people. He's saying, which are called by my name. And we know we've all been called by the name. His name is Jesus Christ because we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. if they shall humble themselves. That's all. Humble yourself. You might, and I like to kneel before God, but that's just me. You know, that's just me. Some people do. Some people like to sit, you know, whatever. Some people like to lay down. That's okay. But just humble, a humbleness of heart towards Him. And what He means is that you're saying, Lord, I can't fix it. See, as we come before Him and we pray and we seek God for our personal lives, or our country, or our state, or our families, we're saying, Lord, I can't fix it. I can't do it. But Father, You can do it. And He's saying, that's what I want. He wants us to humble ourselves and saying, okay, Father, You're in control. You can do it however You want to do it. See, it's like letting go of the reins. You know, anybody ever rode in a wagon and, you have the reins? You know, let me put it to you this way. Everybody has seen Little House on the Prairie. Everybody? Okay. You know the buckboards that they have, you know. That was their cars, okay, with the horses. And they have the reins and, you know. This is what God wants us to do. As we are in that seat, and we are just going along with those horses, and we're guiding them, you know, to go to the left or to the right or whatever, or straight, that He wants us to move over to the side, take the reins, and give it to Him. That's it. And when we do that, we're saying, Father, Your will be done in that situation. That situation. Humble ourselves and pray. We have to humble ourselves, and then we got to seek God and pray. My face, not anyone else's, but we pray and we seek God. And turn from our wicked ways. Now that's important. We have to turn from our wicked ways. You know, it's a sad thing when the world can't see a difference with people in church. Now, hey, we're not perfect. Oh, no. But they have to see a difference in our lives. They do. That's one thing as a pastor. I try to be patient with people. Hey, look, just preach the gospel and just be patient. Let the Holy Spirit work. Because you see, when the Holy Spirit does a work, it's permanent. Hey, baby, had enough. When the Holy Spirit does a work, He does a work permanently. We got to turn. And really, when we repent, praise God, when we repent and we ask God to forgive, repentance means to turn from the thing that we were going towards. And we were doing that was evil. When we repent and ask God to forgive, it means to turn around and look at God and forsake the wicked way. To forsake it. Now, when we turn and we repent from our wicked ways and we look to God and we ask Him to forgive us, we need to ask God to help us. Because we need the Holy Spirit to help us. That's when we have to have faith in our God, in what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. And nothing else. Because it's that. When we put our faith in Christ, in Him alone, and what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, the Holy Spirit, which is the great comforter upon the earth now, is leashed out upon our lives to help us to live a life that is pleasing unto God and to keep that forsaken way out from our lives and to keep us free and have freedom upon our hearts and upon our lives. To forsake the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Then I will hear from heaven. That means it must be blocked before that. Blocked before it. Then it says, I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. People, the future of our world or the future of America depends upon the church. And it's ironic that God has gotten the place of America, and it's not by accident, because the church has forsaken God, the church itself. But He's trying to bring the church back to Him. And in the meantime, as he brings the church back to him, he'll bring healing to the world and healing to America. It depends upon the church. Asking God to forgive us. Repentance before him of all the evil that is happening. And you know, there's things that are happening we don't even know of, huh? I know that. I know it. But that's okay. We just keep on seeking him and honoring him in who he is. I want you to have a repentive heart continuously. And when something happens that's not right, and we know what, all kinds of stuff, because we live in a world and things happen in our lives. But something happens that we know that's not right, and we do it, that's not right. This is what you do. Don't run from God. Number one, don't run. And that's easy. Because you see, we inherited something from Adam and Eve. When they sinned, they ran. Because God had to come look for them the next day. When we do something not right, this is what you do. You call upon him right away. Say, Jesus, help me. Help me. And you ask him to forgive you. And you accept that forgiveness in your heart and your life. But keeping that repentive heart before him. Amy, would you please stand? Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise be unto our God. 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 Father, we give you thanks for today, Lord. You know, when the 10 lepers were healed, only one came back and thanked him. And I've often thought of that story, and I said, Lord, I want to always be a thankful person. Always be thankful. So as we end today, I want you to just say thank you for the lives. Thank the Lord for the lives that were saved today. Thank God for who he is in coming and being with us today. Father, we come before you. And Lord God, we just thank you for who you are, Lord. And Father, we want to thank you for coming and saving these people's lives, Lord God. Father, we thank you for revival that is happening in this church and in the people, Lord. Father, we thank you for a mighty move of your spirit, Lord God. And Father, we would pray that your anointing and your spirit would rest upon each and every soul here today. And Father, I pray this week, Lord God, that you would be with each and every one of these people, the families, Lord God. Lord, meet every need, want, and desire according to your word, Father. Lord, I pray as people get up at night and in the morning to pray that you would meet with them. As the people open up their Bibles, Lord God, that the Word of God would become alive to them, Lord God. And they would see things that they never saw before, Lord God. And Lord God, I pray that these people, we would be a repentive church, Lord God. That, Lord God, we'd go to you for our country and even ourselves and for our families and asking for forgiveness, Lord. Your will be done in our hearts and in our lives. And Father, we thank you for today, Lord God. Be with us and help us as you minister to your people this day. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. God bless you. You are dismissed.